Blog Talk Radio.
Reality Radio Entertainment presents Behind the Curtain with your host, Kathy Barrett.
Life is something we shouldn't do alone, so I hope you'll spend the next 30 minutes with me as I reveal what's behind the curtain this week. Sherry Brescia of Great Taste No Pain is here today to discuss the art of food combining and how we can turn our acidic bodies into alkaline balanced ones. According to a May 2010 Consumer Report, there are no definitive studies of how many Americans have GERD or gastroesophageal disease, but by some estimates, more than 60 million experience heartburn at least once a month and 15 million suffer from it daily. The number of prescriptions written in the U.S. for PPIs, that's proton pump inhibitors, the medication prescribed for GERD, in 2008 topped 113 million, making them the third highest selling class of drugs. Sherry Brescia is the author of Great Taste, No Pain, and has spent the last 28 years studying health and the role that diet plays in our wellness. For 16 years of her career, she was in the health insurance industry, analyzing medical records of prospective policyholders and claim beneficiaries. Sherry has studied thousands of case studies of people who consulted doctors for digestive problems. She herself was diagnosed with IBS and frustrated at the lack of options available other than medication. She learned to eat in a way that considers and respects how the human body is designed to digest food, known as food combining. This was originally created by Dr. William Howard Hay in 1911. Sherry has now created gourmet tasting yet easy-to-make meals to create the Great Taste No Pain health system. And as a result, she has been completely system and medication-free for nearly 20 years. In addition to being an author and gourmet cook, she is currently working toward her PhD in holistic nutrition. Now, you can read more about Sherry by going to www.greattastenopain.com. Hi, Sherry. Good morning and welcome to the program. It's a little frigid now, but hopefully by the end of the program, we'll have everybody warmed up and ready to jump into this Great Taste No Pain diet, and I'm going to be the first one. Okay, so let me just say to listeners that you should always check with your healthcare provider if you want to make a lifestyle change of any kind, and we are not recommending that you stop any medication. All we are offering here is an alternative point of view, especially if you're suffering with digestive illness, but it's still up to you and your healthcare provider to discuss all of the options available to you. And so, Sherry, your own frustration with not wanting to take medication for IBS led you to this alternative healing path. And one thing I want to get out of the way, because it troubles me a great deal, the question is, why are so many people suffering with digestive diseases in this country? What's your opinion on that?
Well, there are a few different factors playing into this, Kathy. Big one is it really started about in the early 1900s, where I guess I'll use the term Betty Crocker entered our lives. We started to divert from meals, simple meals made from real fresh foods. We used to go to the butcher to get our meat, and it was cut fresh and wrapped for us. The meat was not pumped full of hormones and antibiotics. It was fresh. We got raw dairy products. We bought fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, and constructed our meals that way. Once the age of convenience and Betty Crocker entered our lives, that's when we started relying more on processed, refined foods. And, you know, there was a good purpose behind some of this, and that is that, people in outlying areas sometimes had trouble getting fresh food. So it was important to try to make food last longer, if you will, give it a shelf life, so that people in more remote areas could actually, you know, get some foods. But then there was a big convenience factor behind a lot of it. It's very, very easy to open up a can or a box and dump it into a pan and, you know, and then say, okay, dinner's going to be ready in 10 minutes versus taking the time to prepare fresh foods. What this has done is taken its toll on our bodies because processed, refined foods, even if they have added vitamins and minerals, simply do not contain the nutrition that is in real fresh foods. Not only that, but they don't work the same way with our bodies. Processed, refined foods are very, very hard for our bodies to digest and break down. And therefore, we have trouble assimilating any nutrients that may be in there because the digestion process is so poor. Coupled with that are, just natural changes in the food supply itself, meaning our animals, instead of being grass-fed and being allowed to graze, are now grain-fed. That is causing an imbalance of the essential fatty acids in our bodies, which are not only causing digestive problems, but making us hurt from head to toe.
Mm.
And I also see the last factor is really being, or actually there's two more factors. Another factor is complex meals. Our bodies were not meant to digest every single kind of food group known to man in every single meal. It is just too much and too difficult. And I'll get into the more specifics of that as to why in just a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
But lastly, I think, Kathy, too, a big part of it is that people, they don't want to take the time necessarily to find answers. It's just easier to pop a pill. Give me a pill. I'll feel better. Just give me a pill.
Exactly.
And I think all of those things combined over the last 100 years or so have really caused the situation that you just described a few moments ago. I mean, you can look at different statistics. My statistics say that more than 70 million Americans suffer from digestive disorders. And we spend about close to $50 billion a year on gut products to relieve heartburn, constipation, diarrhea, you name it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the statistics are all, boy, they may differ depending on your source. They're all pretty equal.
It's true. And, you notice that there's a lot of medical studies. There's studies, you can get spine studies galore and all kinds of medications and the side effects and, yada, yada, yada. But you rarely find anyone studying diets like this.
That's right.
And it's really a shame, this is information that I think is so important to get out to people. As I mentioned to you in earlier conversations, I suffered with IBD for years and seriously, hospitalized for it, bleeding internally, was on all kinds of chemo drugs to stop the bleeding, and I had constipation at the time. And I stood on these drugs for about 2 years, and then I said I could just feel that they were destroying my body, and there were so many side effects. So I was supervised off of it, and luckily for me at the time, I found, because I'm going back many, many moons ago, I found the Elaine Gottschall diet, which really involved not eating complex carbohydrates and sugars and dairy and things like that. So that kind of, helped me to heal my body in that way. But now I'm suffering with GERD. So this came out of the blue, and I was like asymptomatic. And now once they found it, all of a sudden I'm feeling more symptomatic. So I don't know if that's psychological or when they tinker around out there, things get loose. But, I'm about to take your diet very seriously. And I've been up since, let's see, about 5:30 this morning, making a giant soup for myself, and that's part of it, right? That's part of it. We have to take the time to shop and chop and prepare and support ourselves. If we want to go on this kind of diet or any kind of diet that's going to work for us, we really have to take the time to support ourselves to be successful in it. Let's talk about basically what the principles of the Great Taste, No Pain diet are first.
Okay. Certainly. Well, Great Taste, No Pain, first of all, is based upon the theory, as you mentioned, of food combining. And it's actually very, very easy for anyone that's ever heard of basic chemistry. Basic chemistry dictates to us that when you mix an acid and an alkaline solution together, they neutralize each other. You do that in experiments in chemistry class, high school chemistry class. I know I did it. Well, the same chemistry principles apply to your body. I mean, our bodies are our creation. There are chemicals in them. Okay, they're no different in a way than a lab beaker. When you eat certain foods, namely proteins require an acid digestive enzyme to be broken down into their individual components, their amino acids. However, starches require an alkaline enzyme to be broken down. So when you eat a meal that has some kind of protein, a meat, and then also some kind of, especially a concentrated starch like a baked potato, bread, when your body is releasing the enzymes to try to break down these different foods, what you end up with in your stomach is the presence together of acid and alkaline enzymes. When they come into contact with each other, they can be greatly weakened or neutralized. It's a simple chemistry. And anyone that says, oh, no, that doesn't happen in your stomach, is denying the basic laws of chemistry. Yes, it does. And when you mix the two together, you slow down your digestion because your enzymes are not as effective. And so what the food combining instructs you to do is to, as much as possible, avoid the presence of proteins and concentrated starches in your stomach at the same time. Now, the problem with that is, as I mentioned earlier, most of our meals are now comprised of every food group under the sun, thanks to, you know, Kellogg's and their four food group theory and so forth.
Right.
Well, really, that's a, it was a marketing ploy at one point.
Yeah.
And
but that's also so, why we're also in an obese nation right
exactly
now.
Exactly right, yeah. Yes. So many people are used to absolutely having to have that baked potato with that steak, or having to have rice with their chicken, or having to, you know, have some kind of starch with their fish.
Right.
Whereas, you know, when you separate the two, if you have, for instance, say a steak, just with maybe some asparagus or green beans or broccoli or whatever your vegetable of choice is, and maybe a salad, the predominant enzyme that's in your stomach at that time is just strictly an acid to break down the protein. So you don't have that weakening of your enzymes taking place, and it makes a huge difference in your digestion and hence how you feel.
Because if we're not digesting properly, then, you know, what's then going on in our digestive tracts that people are not aware of?
Okay. When you're not digesting properly, it's a number of things that's going to happen. Number one, you're creating a lot of acid waste in your system. You know, when digestion is supposed to eliminate everything, all the residue and everything from your foods and everything else, toxins that you may ingest, that's all part of digestion. It's not just your foods. You're also pushing out toxins and so forth. But when that's not taking place properly, you get waste buildup, acid waste buildup, and also feces buildup. I hate to say it.
Right.
But, you know, your bowel movements are not as efficient either. So that's when people, you know, suffer with constipation. And if you do have this waste buildup going on in your intestines, it can kind of, you know, build up and push. That's how people develop diverticulosis and diverticulitis. And also, you know, as I put it, there's trouble going down south that way and also trouble going up north.
Right.
When your foods aren't being broken down properly in your stomach, your stomach tries like heck to do its job, so it ends up secreting more enzymes. Well, eventually you're ending up with a big blob of acid and poorly digested food in your stomach. That's why people who have tendencies for acid reflux are in, you know, living hell when they lie down, because all the acid just slides right up.
Right.
So it really causes trouble, you know, north and south, if you will.
And it's also putting the, you know, your internal organs working overtime.
Absolutely.
And putting
yeah.
a strain on that, which is throwing your entire existence off balance.
That's right. That's right. And the acid waste that I mentioned earlier, they don't just sit around in your intestinal system. They get absorbed into your bloodstream.
Right.
And that's where they can, you know, settle in your joints. That's what's called arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
They can settle in your muscles. That's what's called myalgias, muscle pain. It can cause migraine headaches, acne. You know, any area of your body from head to toe can be affected.
Okay. What role does having healthy gut flora play in our digestion and overall health?
Oh, a big one. First of all, our gut flora help us digest certain starches and certain fibers. So without the presence of a good, healthy gut flora, we have a little trouble with digestion even further down, okay? And that's why a lot of people have trouble with fiber. Oh, I can't have fiber. You know, it doesn't like me. Well, yes, it does, but you just need the proper gut flora to help break it down, okay? And secondly, between 70 and 80% of your immune system resides in your gut, as in, you know, the presence of your health gut flora. They really do protect you from head to toe. So when your gut flora are seriously imbalanced, meaning you have more harmful bacteria than good ones, your immune system is weak or non-existent, and therefore that makes you susceptible to infections of all kinds and every bug and virus in the air.
Mm. Now, I know that you offer, don't you sell a probiotic as well on your website?
Yes, yes. We do have a line of supplements under the name of Blue Rock Holistics. And yes, Super Shield is our probiotic.
Okay, great. So again, you can go to greattastenopain.com and learn more about Sherry and all the products that she's offering. And what I love about you is that the Great Taste, No Pain, you know, book and diet plan, it's a money-back guarantee?
Correct.
Yes. That's amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we realize that something is not necessarily the right thing for everybody.
Right.
But, you know, why I think Great Taste, No Pain is different is even if you don't like to cook, you know, it does contain a recipe book.
Right.
And I pride myself on my gourmet cooking skills, and I've gotten rave reviews about my recipes. However, even if you don't want to use the recipe book, it does also come with a book of manuals that explains, like the food combination that I just mentioned a few moments ago. It gives you charts telling you exactly what you can eat with meat, what you can eat with pasta, what you should eat with potatoes, and so forth. So it's a lot of very helpful information. So even if you're not a great cook, even if you want to eat out every night, I tell you what you should pair with what, and that is what makes a huge difference.
And how long does it really take to before someone would see an effect?
Well, it can be as quickly as the first day. Mm-hmm. As it was with me, and I'm being very honest. I thought it was a fluke. But once I started combining my foods, I noticed that first day I wasn't getting gas and bloating, and I thought, oh, no, this is just too good to be true. This is just a fluke.
Right.
But then it continued the second day and the third day and the fourth day and for the last 20 years, and that is my story. And it happens with a lot of people very quickly. Some others, it might not be as quick, and there are a lot of reasons for that. Number one, if you've been eating, you know, a very hard-to-digest diet for a long time, it may take your body a while to just clean itself out and adjust. You may have it, you know, waste buildup more
right.
than you think you do.
Now, do you recommend people kind of going on a cleanse before they start this process, or how
well,
do you feel
can.
About that?
You don't keep people from doing that. But if you, you know, are a fan of cleanses, I don't tell people not to. But I just warn them, don't rely on cleanses to solve all your problems and to keep you clean. If you want to use a cleanse to clean yourself out, that's one thing. But you have to make sure your diet is one that helps keep you clean.
Let's also talk about the importance of maintaining proper acid-alkaline balance in our bodies. And how do we go about achieving this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were all born with a blood pH of about 7.365, which is slightly alkaline. With the acid-alkaline scale, 0 is complete acid, 7 is neutral, 14 is complete alkaline. So we're a little over 7, so we're a little over halfway there, slightly into the alkaline range. That is how we were designed by the man up above to function and, you know, how our bodies work best. The more we divert away from that slightly alkaline range, either becoming too alkaline or too acid, our bodies cannot function as they are supposed to. Now, number one, I've never in my life seen anyone too alkaline.
Right.
It's pretty darn hard to do. Typically, people dip down and become either slightly acidic or very acidic. And when this happens, all of your organs become stressed. They're in a stressed state, and therefore cannot function as efficiently as they should. And here's an interesting tidbit for your listeners, Kathy. I just wrote this in one of my emails very recently. There is one time in our lives when it is natural and expected for our bodies to become acidic, and that is upon death.
Wow.
Upon death, our bodies naturally become acidic so we can rot and decompose as nature intended us to. So when this is going on when you're alive...
Not a good sign, is it, Sherry?
No, it's not. It really makes it stand out for people. They get a kick out of that, but it is the truth. That from your mother or your teacher or whatever, it is very true. Our bodies rely on water. We need water. Okay? And just making sure that we eat foods that help encourage alkalinity. Fruits and vegetables. Most fruits and vegetables are alkalizing to the body. So they really help encourage that more alkaline pH. Now, I know a lot of people wonder, well, how will I know what my pH is? How can I tell if I'm good or bad? You can get test kits. There are saliva and urine test kits typically available at health food stores or pharmacies or whatever. Just know that saliva is more neutral. Your saliva pH level is more like around 7 versus the 7.365. Urine can be slightly acidic at like 6.8, 6.9. When you think about it, urine is the way your body gets rid of toxins, so you would expect it to be slightly acidic. So your body is, you know, showing good signs of health if your urine is about 6.8, 6.9. Mm-hmm. Then you can also go to a doctor for a blood test, and that's where you should really be looking for around 7.3.
That's great advice. And those little packets are also very, very easy to pick up and do. I use them every morning, but I think that's a great idea to kind of back it up with a blood test. And I'm not thrilled to say, but mine is really around 6.5 right now, which is disturbing to me because my diet overall is very good. But now I'm really, you know, I did have the occasional rice, you know, in a bean soup or whatever. But I'm stepping into cutting all that out and really following the diet 100% right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just gave up coffee. And
coffee's a big offender.
Yeah, that was. I can't say I really feel a big difference, but I couldn't dream of giving up my black coffee in the morning. But actually, I feel quite good from giving it up. I have more of an abundance of energy than I did before drinking the coffee.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say to everybody, this is because the recipes in Sherry's book are very simple, very easy to make, and they are delicious. So I really urge you, if you're having any kind of problem digestive-wise, you know, and if you're looking to lose the bloat and cramping and any other problems that you may have, give the diet a try. It's great taste, nopain.com. I was... really upset the other day. I know we talked about this briefly, but seeing, you know, green, red, and yellow peppers, you know, one each in a pack for $8. And what becomes so disturbing is a lot of people will say to me, listen, I can't afford to eat right. You know, I have a family and I can't afford to buy, you know, organic vegetables and blah, blah, blah. And I understand that. And it is very easy to just say, okay, I'll just pop a Prilosec or, you know, whatever the drug is. And it's a lot cheaper and it's a lot easier. But there are food co-ops that people can join. And you can go to www.coopdirectory.org and put in your area code and not area code, zip code. And you know, find where there's a co-op, food co-op near you, and you may find that it's even cheaper than the way you're eating now. So I wanted to throw that out to people. And what are, in your opinion, the most acidy foods that we should just stay away from altogether?
The highest acid foods are really your refined carbohydrates. You know, that would be like any kind of processed food because it isn't really food to your body. So it's inherently... you know, going to be difficult to digest and will cause a lot of acid waste. Very acidy foods, too, also include, I hate to say it, but meats, especially your red meats. Mm-hmm. However, you know, meats do have good nutrients, too, that you need, all right? You know, you need the protein and you need, like, the vitamin B12 and so forth from red meat. Very, very important things. The important thing, though, is to not eat too much of it.
Portion control.
Yes, exactly, because, you know, I mean, when I do have red meat, I enjoy like a little filet now and then or you know, some organic chicken or something. They say the rule of thumb, and I think it's a good one, should be, you know, about the size of a deck of cards. You go to these Texas steakhouses where there's 24-ounce or 32-ounce steaks, that's when you're really asking for trouble.
I don't know how people get out of their chairs at the end of the eating something like that.
I think there's a forklift in the back. But anyway, yes, your meats are very, very acid-forming. And also what people tend to forget is it's not just foods that are acid-forming. It's also beverages. Soda is by far the worst offender. It takes 32 8-ounce glasses of water to neutralize the acid in your body caused by one can of soda.
That's incredible.
That. It is incredible. And think about the number of people, especially teenagers, that drink 6, 7, 8, 9 sodas a day. So not only are they just getting empty calories and high fructose corn syrup and things that I could go on for hours about, but just imagine the acidity in their poor young bodies.
That is really disturbing, and it makes me want to do a show just getting this information out to teens, because they are our future. So we want to make sure that they're in the best of health, as their young bodies are growing. So that's really disturbing to hear, but hopefully we'll be able to put that into a plan and try to get it out to teenagers so that they have these facts. And, listen, they're worrying about their weight at very young ages now, which is disturbing on many levels. But hopefully, if they're worrying in that respect, then there's an open door to educate them nutritionally. So
exactly. And, and that's the thing with teens. Their understanding is, oh, I just have to cut calories. So what? Instead of regular Coke, they drink Diet Coke.
Right.
it has to be much more than just cutting calories. But, yes, I agree with you. We have to get the information out to them. They are our future, and we don't want them to be sick and suffering with things like arthritis by the time they're 40.
Exactly. Well, Cheri, I can't believe the time has blown by. I am so excited, and I hope you'll come back from time to time to continue keeping us nutritionally fit, because I love your philosophy, and it's been a pleasure spending this time with you, and I wish you continued success, and come back and be sure to come and tell us whenever you're working on a new project or product, because we're very anxious to hear about it.
I would love to, Kathy, and I thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Cheri. Listen, folks, we have an amazing show for you with documentary filmmaker Mary Katsky of the Baby Film Tuesday. Mary is based in Alaska, and her films address social issues and instigate change. And her documentary About Face, which was completed in 2009, is the story of Gwendolyn Bradshaw, who will also be on the show. Gwen was thrown into a campfire at 6 months old by her mother, who was suffering from postpartum depression. Gwen was given a 50-50 chance to survive, and this film is about her journey of healing and redemption. The story of how Mary Katsky, the director, and Gwen Bradshaw met is equally as inspiring as the documentary About Face. Gwen is a beautiful spirit inside and out, and who she became in the face of her challenges will leave you inspired. So you can go and find more about that film at www.affinityfilms.org. This is Kathy Barrett sending you a big virtual hug from behind the curtain. So great to have you with me on this journey. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll tune in. Peace.